may not be known by many, but if you're known by the Lord, you are one blessed human being. And it's one thing to know him, but it's yet another for him to know you. Appreciate the good singing this morning, congregation, the choir, and specials of art. It's been excellent. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 10. Joshua, chapter number 10. We've been in the book of Joshua for a good period of time, been preaching on, I guess, what you would call the diving board that we sprung into this book with. Began preaching a message that just got bigger and bigger as the days and weeks went on the subject, Canaan is just in sight, or a new day dawning, and how that the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt and out of captivity and bondage. God miraculously opened the Red Sea and delivered them. A picture of the child of the sinner being saved from his sin, out of his sin, being delivered from the devil, from the enemy. And then God made promises to the children of Israel that he had provided them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And we know that is none other than Canaan land. And Canaan land, for whatever reason, the children of Israel left Egypt, and without re-preaching all that, they got tied up and turned around, and for 40 years they wandered in the same place in the wilderness, what would have been probably about an 11 to 13 day journey, turned into 40 years of just absolute pounding the same piece of pavement, living in the same place, making no advancement, achieving nothing. And yet God was faithful to them for four decades. God fed them. God was faithful to them. And God saw to it that they were taken care of. But yet God moved and God spoke to the man of God, to Joshua. And we picked up there and how that God moved in the heart of Joshua and give him a fresh word and let Joshua know that it was no longer okay to stay where they was, that it was time for a new day. There was a new day dawning, and there was land that he had promised them, that many of them had, for 40 years they had heard about this land and how God had promised it, but yet nothing seemed to change. Everything remained the same. And so I'm sure as Joshua, just like many people sitting in churches, as Joshua stood up and said, God said it's time to move. God said it's time for a change of scenery. God has spoken to me and said it's time for us to pursue our purpose and our place that he has promised us. I'm sure it was like water off a duck's back to many. And they were scoffers and mockers who said, yeah, we've heard this before, and Moses preached about it, and Moses talked about it, and here you are, Joshua, just who do you think you are, and what's going to be different? We've heard all this before, and so really, I know you're excited about it now, but just settle down, and everything will get back to the way we are used to living. Sadly, that's the mentality of most people sitting in churches. They think things are being said, but I'll just take my seat and wait it out, and things will get back to how I like it. And I can say this about the children of Israel. I'm sure that it was a place. The wilderness, speaking of the wilderness, was a place where they had it made. They didn't have to work for their food. God fed them. God just let it rain down. Everything, every provision was there. No sweat off of them to do anything. But hear me this morning. It ain't okay to stay where you are for the rest of your life. I want to begin this message by asking and posing this thought. If you could never change, and you knew that, if this, who you came into church being this morning, as far as you have made it to date, the person who you really are, not who you portray to be or say that you are, but who you know that you are, the character that you have, the Christian that you have become, if who you brought in here this morning was all you could ever be, are you okay with that? Because, and the reason I pose that question is because we would say, no, I don't want this to be it. Surely there's got to be more. I still got time to grow. I have plenty I want to do for God, and we put that off, but then we remain the same. And if we turn that thing around and say, I can't go no further, I'm hoping that will project us into the thinking of, I want to do more. I don't want it to be just this. So don't be okay with who you are, where you are, and how you are today. With that in mind, the children of Israel got the word from God as we preached. Canaan's just in sight, new day dawning, and now they've gathered their stuff up, and I said, we're going to walk with the children of Israel. And not only are we going to get the word, God has a Canaan land for us. God has more for us. God has a land prepared and provided for us. And listen, it's great to know that. It's great that God made that promise, but it's going to require us as believers, as Christian people, as Morning Star Baptist Church, it's God saying, if you want more, you can have it, but I'm going to require some from you. I'm going to fight battles for you. I'm going to go before you, make crooked places straight, breaking some of the bars of iron. I'm going to stand with you. No man will ever be able to come against you and prevail, but I'm going to require you to do some fighting. I'm going to require you to start fixing your own food. I'm going to in other words, if you're going to have more, you're going to have to do more. And so with that in mind, they pick up their belongings and they begin this next leg of the journey. They are leaving the wilderness. That's where we are. They've got it into their head. They've heard it from God. That message come from God through the man of God. And now they've received it. As we preached last week, the people believed it and they took it to heart. And they said, if anybody rebel against the man of God and the word of God, we'll kill them. We for you, Joshua. And if you'll stand for God like Moses did, we'll follow you and we'll follow you and we'll fight with you. And we'll have faith and confidence in you. And they did. So they gathering their belongings and up. But listen, you all know that sat in a Sunday school class before and heard preaching before. Though it's just right over there, there's a lot between here and there. And I want to say to us all this morning, victory is right around the corner. I mean, an elevation, a sight of God you've never experienced is real close. It ain't far. Ain't really far to get to another level with God and to see and experience sides of God and the favor and blessings of God that you've never had or experienced. It's right there. But between here and right there are giants that have to fall. They are enemies that have to be dealt with. There's opposition that's going to see to it you don't get there. And that's what I want to pick up with this morning. We need some strategy for the battles. Because I promise you, if you're changing locations, if you're planning to go higher with God, if our church, excuse me, before I get to the church, if my family, me and my wife and our children are planning to uproot and to move and move forward, I can tell you this, we're going to plan and we're going to strategize and we're going to think, well, what's it going to cost us? What's going to come against us? What's the things that we're going to be involved with moving location and going further? We didn't just up one day and say, hey, we're leaving Georgia, and we're moving and leaving a church behind, and we're leaving the people we love behind. No, there came a call from God to me, and we began praying and seeking the Lord, and then we began to thinking, what's it going to cost, and what's it going to take for us to actually take this thought and this word from God that came into my heart and to put that in shoe leather and get my wife and my family and get us down here to Packlet and to resign a church and then receive another church. There's a lot in between there and there. You don't just wake up one morning and pop into being. It takes some strategy. And if you're going to get to victory, if you're going to get to a place with God you've never experienced before, we need to do some strategizing and have some understanding and some comprehension of what it's going to take when the enemy rises, because I promise you, he's going to. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail my first battle because I didn't think it through. We ought to count the cost. We ought to consider what it's going to take so that we don't become castaways and we don't become statistics. I don't want my family. I don't want it ever to be said about my family, Brother Stephen. They used to serve the Lord. I could stand up this morning, and God help you, I could stand up this morning and name names. Just in October will be 5 years since I've been here. Me and my family have been back at Morningstar Baptist Church. I can name names until my time is up of people who sat on these pews who are no longer sitting in church this morning. You know what that is? They've become a statistic. They didn't think it through. They didn't count the cost. They didn't strategize and think, what am I going to have to do in order to stay in this fight? If I'm going to go further with God, when enemies do rise up against me, when opposition does come to me, what am I going to do? Amen. Every child of God needs to have a strategy. And I believe God give us some strategies found in the text. Let's look at it, Joshua chapter 10. Strategies. It's the name of the message. Y'all writing it down. Strategies for the day of battle. And this will be the next several messages that we'll deal with. Strategies for the day of battle. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 6. There, say amen. Let's stand to our feet if you give yourself a moment to stretch. Verse number 6, the Bible said, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Mekeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. strategies for the day of battle as we step into this message. Chapter 10 opens with five kings of Canaan joining forces to attack Gibeon because they had made a peace treaty with the people of Israel. So these five kings yoke up, and these five kings didn't know it, but they were playing right into the hand of Joshua. Joshua and the children of Israel had made a covenant and made a deal with the Gibeonites, and they now instead of Joshua having to chase these down one by one and these enemies. They all made a league or a pact together, and they all come. And so Joshua didn't have to go hunting them. They were all right there together. And he and the Lord and the people of Israel slew them all together. And so earlier in the book, the Israelites had been tricked into making a peace treaty with the people of Gibeon. And now it's time, as we read, for the Israelites to make good on that deal that they made to protect the Gibeonites. And for Israel, This is just another battle. I'm not going to go any deeper into the Gibeonites and this it and that it. I just want to gather your mind and your attention for a minute this morning and just say, simply put, the Old Testament is full of battles. And just in from the book of Joshua, I've said it over and over, but it's a book of war. It's a book of battles, one after the other. And it was physical battles. I mean, this was really picking up swords and stabbing and thrusting people with it. It was shields and slingshots and arrows. It was bloody and gory. It was real war. Say, what in the world's that got to do with us? I ain't seen nobody toting a shield around lately. What, wasn't you at Bible school? I ain't seen grown-ups had shields. They made me a shield out of something. And I had a sword. And I said, I got my Bible in my hand. What more? Well, that's a sword. My point is, we're reading about physical battle. What does that have to do with us in 2023? What does that have to do? Because listen, everything God wrote or spoke in the Old Testament was for our admonition, it was for our learning. And though we're not going to go out on the streets this afternoon and wield swords and start fighting people that disagree with us, I can promise you this, God put this in the Word of God to let us know that where they were fighting physically and with real swords and blocking with real shields and there was real blood flowing and real men dying. Listen, we spiritually have the same battles to fight. If we're going to advance, if we're going to go further with God, then we're gonna have to understand and comprehend there are real battles for us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principles. There is a battle. There is an opposition. Listen, just because you don't see a physical sword or feel the bullets or hear them whizzing by your head, I promise you, you are in a battle. And the battle's gonna rage stronger and stronger the closer you get to victory. You ever seen a football team, maybe a national championship, a game that matters, and the clock's winding down, it's down inside 2 minutes, and the opposing team is down 6 points, and they got 2 minutes, and they drive all the way, and the closer they get to that goal line as the minutes tick down, it's like, there's a battle raging, and that defensive side, they're trying their best, and the closer they get, the harder they push, and the harder they fight, and they'll do whatever they have to do to stop them from getting. It's the same way in the Christian life. The closer you get to your purpose, the closer you get to God's calling on your life, there will be enemies rise up seemingly from every direction, and the fervency that they'll stand against you will get hotter and the battle will get stronger the closer you get. So it ain't time to lay down and say, well, we made it out of the wilderness, so whoopee. No, it's time to pick up and go and strategize and think. I made it out of Egypt. Thank God I'm saved. I made it to the wilderness and God's been good to me over the last 4 decades. Praise the Lord. But we're picking up and moving on, and it ain't time to sit down. It ain't time to stop thinking. It's time to engage mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, because it's going to take it all to get around the next leg. There'll have to be some strategy involved. Do you want to win? Do you want to make it enough to sit down and write a battle plan that this is what I'm going to have to do? If I'm attacked, we got generals in the military, and their whole calling, their whole purpose is to think and strategize on if they attack from this angle, this is how we respond. If they shoot from this way, we go that way. If they come with submarines, they got battle plans and strategies for every contingency. I mean, they got contingency plans for no matter what happens. And if that's true physically, under heaven, as believers, we know we're wrestling with wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places, and there is a darkness that you can almost feel that we're facing. And it ain't just us. It ain't just us. Our children are in this battle. Your grandchildren are in this battle, and it's getting darker by the minute. And we need, it's almost like the church has just said, well, we'll wait till Jesus come, and we sing things like that, and we almost practice that way. Well, we'll just occupy till he comes. Well, that's what the Bible says, and we do need to be here standing our ground, but we need to also be pressing forward. We need to be opposing the enemy. We need to be gaining ground. It's high time for the believer to come out of the closet, spiritually speaking, come out of the closet, be willing to open our mouth and face the ones fighting us. Have you heard? Have you heard how loud this world has gotten? How proud and loud the opposing voices are? It used to be that the preachers and the churches would stand up and speak out about the vile wickedness going on in our nation. I mean, when the school wouldn't speak out and even families wouldn't say nothing, you could count on the church and the preacher standing up and declaring what thus saith the Lord in spite of what society was saying. And I'm asking you, who gave the church the lockjaw? Where'd all the preachers go? Where did all the Christians go with a voice? I'm not asking you to take up arms. I'm not asking you to go out and fight people physically. But we can and should and have every right to stand out and speak out and declare, thus saith the Lord, it's still wrong to kill babies. It's still wrong for boys to like boys. It's still wrong for some little boy to be taught that he can be a boy or a girl. We as the church need to define what righteousness is, and that ain't it. We're giving them the whole microphone, and we're not saying a word. That ain't fighting. That's laying down. And God ain't for that. He said, oh, but we're not supposed to get in politics. That has nothing to do with politics. That has to do with right and wrong. And we wonder why we're losing our children at breakneck speed, and they're growing up so confused. God ain't the author of confusion. But when we leave it up to the world to teach our children and train our children, and we just turn them over to them for 10 hours a day and then bring them to church for maybe an hour a week, what do we think the outcome's going to be? No, we better learn hey, we're going to have to get a better strategy. We're losing. We are losing. I'm sounding the alarm and I'm shooting an SOS. We are losing. And we need a better strategy. I mean, it's time, all hands on deck. We need you. God needs you. Your children need you involved. Or we're going to lose them. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad you ain't got to fight your battles alone? Now listen, if it was up to me, Brother Ned, I don't mean this. Facing what we're facing, it's insurmountable. I cannot mentally, physically, or emotionally, I can't come up with a plan or a strategy to fix what we're facing. Brother J.D., it's too big. It's too bad. I don't know how to fix what we're facing. It's coming from every angle. I mean, listen, the devil is slipping into every nook and crevice of our home. I mean, through the airwaves, through every way. He can get to our children. They ain't nowhere they can look or listen that the devil ain't just pounding stuff into their head. It's bigger than me, and my strategy and my own little minute mind is feeble at best. But thank God, ain't you glad it ain't up to the preacher to come up with a strategy? Ain't you glad it ain't up to you and your little finite mind to come up with a strategy to beat this wickedness that we're facing? But God, the God of heaven, who ain't never lost, has the strategy. He's got the strategy. And He said, you won't have to fight this alone. I'll help you fight it. I'll show you how to fight, and I will stand with you. Well, that's big. That's big. So can you prove that? Yeah. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes, dark outside. Yes, wicked out there, but God ain't left your side. It may feel like we're losing, and to me many times I feel like we're losing, but then I turn to my right and He's still there. And because He's there, that means I'm still winning. And you are too if you say it. Psalm 46:1 said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. So our lives are going to be filled with battles. Listen to what Isaiah 54:17 said. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. However, these battles that we fight and are going to have to fight are not, they're not physical. Neither should they be with other people. I'm not fighting you. You ain't fighting me. We ain't got time to fight each other. These battles I'm speaking of are not physical battles. They are spiritual battles. Are you hearing me? Ain't no time for friendly fire. Not in this part of the journey. No time for that. Matter of fact, if you got so much time on your hand that you can sit around and shoot fire at the friendlies, I don't want you around me. I got plenty to do without being in the presence of people who call me friend while they're shooting at me. Just let me give you a service, public service announcement. There's too many people on planet Earth for me to consume myself with you. If you that goofy with a gun and you think you can call me friend and then shoot at me behind my back, there's too many people. There's too many people. I don't have to have you in my little nucleus of people. I'm not going to let you hurt me, kill me, or my family, or the things that I love by hanging out with you, calling you my friend, when the reality is you've been shooting at me all week. Learn how to separate you from people who are trying to hurt you, because we got way bigger fish to fry than that nonsense. We're not fighting physical. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting against a greater foe. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Is that not what I just said? What are you? Flesh and blood. What did the Bible say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You say, well, I don't like you. Well, I could probably send that back to you in an amplified form. I told somebody the other day, they said, what about this? I said, I love them, but I don't like them. No, we're not. The Bible tells me I got to love you, and I do. And some of you better thank the Lord about God makes me love you. But ain't no, I've looked, and I D-dog double dare you. Read that Bible, and you find me one verse that says I got to like you. Ain't in there. It takes all kind to make a world go round. I love you. I'll pray for you, and I'm for you, and I'll help you. But we ain't got to be best friends. I'm all right with that. Ain't you? So, because that ain't my battle. You ain't my battle. I'm not your battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, if I'm taking my time fighting with you, or you're taking your time fighting with him or her, you're wasting your time. Because by definition, you are fighting a battle God didn't call you to. He said, we wrestle not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if you're fighting people, you're fighting the wrong battle. If everybody just grab a hold of that truth, we could have revival. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know what our battle is? You know who our enemy is? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not physical. Our battle is spiritual. Their battle, the children of Israel, their battle was physical. Our battle is not physical, it's spiritual. Therefore, our weapons, are you listening? I'm giving you strategy. We can't fight our battle physically. Brother Ned, you know how we're going to have to fight our, you know what kind of weapons I'm going to pull out of the arsenal? If I'm going to make an advancement, if I'm going to have the right, it's going to have to be spiritual weapons. Because I'm in a spiritual battle. I can't punch the devil in the nose. I can't see the devil. I can't fight the demons with a ninja chop. I can't roundhouse a devil. No, I can't see them. Are you listening to me? This ain't physical. This is spiritual. And that, therefore, if I'm going to win this battle, it's going to have to be done with spiritual weapons. That's part of the strategy that we are missing. Number one, you'll know the part strategy. First part of the strategy, here it is. People ain't part of your problem in this battle. Define your enemy. And that's easier said than done. But I'm saying, listen, we just been, you know how you wander in a wilderness? Just keep doing what you always done. Keep walking the same path you've always walked, and you'll stay in the same place. You know how to get out of that? Change some things. Quit fighting people you used to fighting. And learn how to recognize. Do you realize sometimes me and my wife, I probably ought not do this, but I'm going to. And I'll pay for it later. Just so y'all can get in on the blessing of it. Sometimes she will get mad and mouthy. Ooh, not the preacher's wife, not Miss Jenny. Oh, I could tell you some stuff. That little angel, that redhead's fire. It's for a reason. I'm kidding. But do you know sometimes she will, I don't even know where to start it. Some of the biggest fusses, you say, what are we fussing about? Yeah. Just fussing to be fussing. And I say, I'm tired of this. I don't want to be fussing no more. Just you fuss and I'll suffer and be quiet. When you're done, you let me know. So go ahead and get it all out. And when you're done, tell me. I ain't saying another word. I'm done with it. I'm done arguing. I can't stand to argue. I used to love it. I don't know. I said, just tell me when you're done. Like getting a whooping growing up. Just tell me when you're done. I told you I was going to pay for this. I love you. My point is, somewhere along the way, I learned that if I just learned to hush my mouth instead of going back. Something, Macy, if you're watching, you need to learn, darling. I'm old. See these gray hairs? I'm old and wise now. Learn to hush your mouth. Child, I would beat her till my arm fell off because she wouldn't shut up. But you know what I learned? Partly in raising Macy. I said, child's crazy. Now I realize she's just like me. I learned if I just hush, I could shorten the battle. I could shorten the argument. If I just let her say what she wanted to say and just say, okay, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. What? Okay. And let. At worst, I cut it in half. At worst, because I ain't responding to everything she said, so I cut it in half. Listen, my whole point in saying that was a lot of stuff we do in the Christian life, if we would just have a strategy at it and look at some things that we're just so used to doing that ain't getting us anywhere,
yeah. Right.
We could cut down half of our problems just by paying attention and saying, I ain't doing that. I ain't arguing with people just to be arguing, because flesh and blood ain't my problem. That ain't my fight. God clearly said, I've got big battles ahead. And listen to me. If I'm sitting here going back and forth with you, JD, something needs to raise up inside of me and say, he's flesh and blood. I'm wasting my time. Whether it's your wife or your husband, your children, a church member, a deacon, a preacher, when you all stir up and mad and you going back and that's consuming you and your time, back up, hush up, wise up. And say, this ain't part of the strategy. This ain't my problem. That person ain't my problem. These principalities I must deal with, and people ain't one of them. I'm talking about fighting spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. You'll know how to do it? Stop arguing, stop gossiping, stop talking, start praying for them. You'll know how to fix problems? You'll know how to fix problems? Start praying for the person. That's a good idea. Jenny, next time you fuss at me and argue with me, I'm just going to start praying for you out loud right in front of you. See how long she can fuss at me while I'm praying for her. I bet that would cut it down more than half. God convict her wicked heart of talking to me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm simply saying, hey, listen, we got to have a new approach. We got to have a new strategy. And first, that starts with mark your target. Pick out your opposition. Learn to see. You know this, listen, the devil came slithering. The first time we hear him, he came slithering in as a serpent. I mean, we think about the devil with a red suit and a pitchfork. That ain't him. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He becomes the most beautiful thing, and he cozies right up beside us, and we don't even realize it. But he's the enemy. And while we're so consumed fussing with people, we've let the real enemy slither right in beside us, and we hugged up to it. We got to have a strategy that can define and distinguish. This ain't my enemy. She ain't. He ain't. That is. And therefore, I'm not going to waste and consume my time with people and fussing and arguing and criticizing and bickering, sowing discord. I'm going to get motivated. I'm going to get focused in on it. I'm going to fight spiritual battles spiritually. That's as plain as 2 plus 2, but as complicated to put in shoe leather as algebra 2. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, In other words, we are not making any advancement when we use carnal means to try to fight with. It's got to be spiritual. If you want to win, learn to fight spiritual. Learn how to use the sword. Learn how to use the shield of faith. Learn how to pray. That arsenal works way better in your mouth. Works way better than your fist or your feet. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Hey, listen, God give us the best arsenal any soldier could ever dream to have. We have in our presence everything needed to win. He give it to us. And we stay busy fighting with carnal weapons. And that ain't going to work. It work in the wilderness just to sustain where you're living. But it ain't going to work. We got to have a better strategy. Amen. So, I'm going to stop right there. We're going to come back. We got through the introduction this morning. We're going to join Joshua and the armies of Israel as they fight the good fight of faith this evening. And as we observe them in their day of battle, there are some very, very important lessons or strategies that we're going to pick up from them. Strategies that came from God. Strategies that God give them in order to win. I'm interested in that. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you'd help us this morning. Take your word and be interested. Lord, interested enough, God, to open your word with an open heart. God, receive what you've said to us, Lord. God, to get our eyes off of people. Lord, this week, there's been several people, Lord, that I've got my eyes on, God. It's derailed my attention on you and the things that I should be fighting, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, God. I pray you'd help every married couple, Lord, to see their spouse, Lord, not as their enemy, God, but as their helpmeet, Lord. Help us to be, Lord, the families, the husbands, wives, and the families, God, that make up this church, realizing, Lord, we're not one another's enemy, but, Lord, we be brethren. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you'd help us, Lord, as we launch out, God, leaving the wilderness, Lord, you'd give us the strategy plan, the battle plans, Lord, that's be necessary and needed to win. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody lost this morning, God, that you'd show them they're already losing. And there's no way for them to win except in Christ. I pray you'd draw them close to yourself, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts. We'll thank you in Christ's name.